All right, sir. Thanks for calling. Down to Brass Tacks, hello.
Yes, good morning, Miss Alice.
Morning.
Yeah, some relative or someone connected to your spouse or something?
Yes.
Well, my sincere condolences to you.
Thank you very much.
I hope you bear up. And it'll be just in passing, you know. You eventually come back to yourself with time. Now, you made a little error there when you were talking about the DLP and in respect to the program yesterday and about the faction. You said there are two factions, old and new, but I am on record as saying there are three factions, and I highlighted them, but I'll do that extensively tomorrow, Peter Wickham. There are three factions. I can give you a quick thing of it. You got Mr. DePisa in conjunction with Mrs. Short. You have Mr. Stephen Lascio over there by himself. And you have the other four that were at the Princess Margaret over there by themselves. So you got three factions going. The biggest problem that the DLP has to deal is resolving that faction. Everybody's going to be very egotistic about their views and whatever. So to get that unified and come in unison is going to be harder than anything else there. Is that the first thing that has got to happen? You know, that ain't going to happen easily. Anyhow, I'll speak on that extensively tomorrow. Someone called me yesterday and said, we're all he was listening for your 2 cents. But Raleigh is so shrewd and so on top of it that I don't necessarily, I carried analysis. So you hear me tomorrow, though.
My goodness,
what happened?
Raleigh is so shrewd.
60% of the water go. Huh? You want to say something?
No, I'm listening.
60%. Am I look cute, like to be amused? 60% of our water going to waste is still a fact of life in Barbados, and all our problems centered around that. Really, it's regrettable, but that's what it is. 60% going to waste. You know, imagine 60% of our water. We ain't even getting half, but 60% going to waste. My. Now going forward, we had in your opening remark, you spoke about your situation with projects and things to come on stream and things. I've heard something recently about the St. Joseph Hospital is going to be given to somebody as a part of a package, something. St. Joseph Hospital.
I vaguely heard something about St. Joseph Hospital.
Right. Now, we got the Four Seasons. What's that will become a Sam Lord Castle?
Have you heard the Prime Minister speak about that recently?
I heard something about the Chinese now.
The government spoke about that recently.
Right. So, but I wonder if all is well with that Sam Lord Castle and the Four Seasons.
From what the Prime Minister said, and Four Seasons is also a paradise, as it's called. It's not Four Seasons anymore.
Well, paradise, yeah.
There is a private family business that has become involved in that project as well. So there's a degree of optimism associated with getting that up and running again.
But with all these projects here, you will stop and recall money has been dispensed to all of them by a government to the magnitude of millions of dollars. That is not correct.
The government expects to get back its money that was injected by NIS into the Paradise Project. That's what was said as well.
Okay, glad to hear that. Well, I can be corrected. I'm not Jesus. I can be corrected. I can make an error. Good.
At least it surprised me. I thought you were somebody else.
You better just watch yourself. Yeah. Let me ask you another question. You see that lady that was crying virtually? She would say, I would say she must cry blood with that immigration situation and going on and going on. And persons, and you made a comment about somebody getting the news, the word help. You understand what help really means, though?
Tell me.
I said a couple of times ago when Mr. Rob Thorne was on the air with his, just setting up this commission, if he's going to get things like what that lady highlight resolved and the problems with persons and settlements with insurance and lawyers, et cetera, resolved, I shake his foot. I grant him and wish him well. But our moderator already made a point. I don't want poor Cole water on his efforts. We ain't going to get it, dude. You imagine some of these people steep in the way. They don't want to hear no minister PS nobody. He ain't framing nobody going 27 years. He's going to get it, dude. Let him come and get it, dude. I ain't going to worry with that. Landfill closing. As we speak, terrorists obviously are still rolling into landfill, and they say that there are 8,000 terrorists a month as I speak, I know Terrence Rowland, what is the government and the authority saying to the people in the Charlie and whatever is anticipating going forward? Terrence Rowland, what's going to happen? Don't tell me another fight again.
What can I tell you about that? We just got to sit down here and wait to hear one. Perhaps we will hear about it in the estimates debate.
But Terrence Rowland, as I speak to you, sir, 8,000 a month. So, I mean, let me see if that fight was on the 4th. I mean, work out. You're a mathematician, man. When you break down that, I know more than 5,000 tires rolling already. And they're going rolling. You're going to allow them to accumulate, and then the same thing.
I think
We
all know that we are creating a major environmental problem as we continue on this course. This is this is dangerous. It also threatens one of the more significant pieces of real estate in Barbados.
Mm-hmm.
And the sooner we can come to a decision as to how we're going to move forward there, what we're
But we're not coming.
Are we going?
I regard you, sir.
All right, sir. Down to brass tacks. Hello.
Hello, good afternoon.
Good morning. Welcome to the program. 11:43, just let me remind you that, you know, it's carnival time in Trinidad, and we normally bring the regional roundup out of Trinidad. So there will be no roundup today, because whenever there is carnival, and most likely there won't be any tomorrow as well, because when there's carnival in Trinidad, all other things, as you well know by now, everything else stops. So, yes, go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, Mr. Ellis.
Morning.
I'm the young man that was on the program with the Democrat Liberal Party yesterday. I'm Simon Allen. How are you?
Simon Allen, I'm well, and you?
Pretty good hanging in there, man. I was just listening to a lot of the views of persons who called in with regards to there being a divided DLP.
Yeah.
a
good politician will say there's no such division.
But, you know, within any group, there will always be differences of opinion, but for sure, for my one part, I know that there's no division within the Democratic Labour Party.
Sound like a truly politician for true.
But no, I'm being very serious. I think that yesterday's exercise is very important because we got a chance to also hear from people, and I am quite aware that a lot of people had some challenges with the last administration, and that is clear.
You know, I sat down yesterday hearing. Adriel Brathwaite said that he wants an opportunity. He welcomed the opportunity to talk about the Democratic Labour Party yesterday, but he wants the opportunity to come back and talk about today's situation with the government. When he was Attorney General, he refused to come here and sit down and talk about the issues of the day, you know. But that's politicians for you.
I totally understand. But the thing for me right now is that I just want to reiterate to you and the public that the Democratic Labour Party is rebuilding. And it's very important that we get a better understanding of how the public feels about the party, how the public feels about the issues that they're facing, so that the Democratic Labour Party can obviously address these issues and move forward. I said already yesterday when I was on the program, I offered my apologies sincerely. I know that we would have lost some kind of confidence. The people would have lost some kind of confidence in us. But this is a rebuilding process right now.
Well, let me say to you that, I mean, mm-hmm. I heard your comments yesterday. I thought you sounded quite reasonable in all that you had to say. But at the end of the day, there are some variables that will determine how the Democratic Labour Party moves forward. A critical issue is who will lead the Democratic Labour Party into the next election campaign. The leader of whoever leads a political party in Barbados sets the tone for that party.
That's right.
I don't care. All other people can say whatever they want to say. The Democratic Labour Party, for me, must answer questions like, if you're talking about rebuilding and trying to make yourself more relevant, one of the weaknesses of the last period was that people who sat in Parliament appeared not to be responsive to the organs of the party. They seemed to operate outside of the organs of the party. They were able to go to Parliament, get all that went with being an MP at that level, but did not appear to put it back into the party itself. So much so that the Democratic Labour Party headquarters was in shambles when they left. All right? Mm. Now, if you're talking about trying to rebuild, I want to hear about how the organizational structure of the Democratic Labour Party is going to respond to the new reality of Barbados and what it is. You know, those types of questions, to my mind, are relevant, and they will be shaped by whoever leads the party. One more point, Simon, that I heard yesterday was really interesting, because I remember when Mr. Stewart was in office, how people used to talk about his new style of leadership. Well, I heard Adriel Brathwaite say yesterday that essentially he introduced a style of leadership that Barbados wasn't ready for. And, you know, when you introduce a style of leadership and the country ain't ready for it, we used to do, you come back and, you know, you make some changes and you try to make sure that you are more consistent with what the country ready for. But instead, no. That went on and on and on and on. So those types of issues to me are particularly relevant. I
understand what you're saying, David, but what I'm saying to you now is that the Democrat Labour Party has learned from all of these challenges that we would have experienced.
How do I know that? Because you say so?
Well, it will take time for us to show the public. One of the first steps towards making things right was acknowledging that some things went wrong. And we have acknowledged that. We have
what post you got in the Democrat Labour Party?
I am currently the second vice president of the party.
Second vice president of the party. And you feel confident that as second vice president, you can speak with such authority about what the party has acknowledged?
I can speak to what the party has acknowledged. I can speak to what I have acknowledged.
What you have acknowledged.
I agree.
I mean,
the reality, but the reality of it, David, is that this is all a process. I don't think that there will be like a switch you could just flip on and everything is going to become perfect just like that. It doesn't work like that. But within any organization, there is organizational change that occurs. And that is what is happening right now. What I would say to you is this. What is promising is that there are a lot of young people, like myself and others, who have an interest in working hard to rebuild the public confidence in the party. And that is one of the big things that is important. Because you can't say you want to lead people if the people don't trust you or if the people lack confidence in you.
All I can tell you.
I think that we're on our way towards that.
All I can tell you. All I can tell you is that I am among the cynical.
I know. You sound a bit jaded, man. I don't think...
Yeah, I am jaded because I've listened to people...
You sound
to people like you talk for years. All right? Mm-hmm. You are a politician. You got it all within you. And the whole skill of a politician is to talk glibly around the issues in general terms. No specifics. And what's, you know, so we are enticed by the fact that you can talk sweet. And you do talk well.
It's more.
But I want more.
Where I am
going with you is that ultimately, I appreciate where you're coming from, but I'm going to say to you, ultimately, we need more specifics. We need to be able to get a better appreciation of what exactly has been happening that will put you in a position to say, yes, we have acknowledged, and two, we have changed. What have you changed?
Right. Well, first of all, one of the big things that the even callers ask about is candidate selection, because that's the watchword in everyone's mouth.
Candidate selection.
Then you bring a new candidate, and we've already started to...
I ain't talking about that. I want to know about within the organizational structure of the party, what have you changed if you have recognized that things went so wrong? Other than selecting candidates.
Correct. One of the first things that we acknowledge is that there needs to be greater internal communication as well as external communication.
So what have you done? What have you put in place to do that?
Also, right, thank you, David. What's happening now, there's a lot more communication between the Executive Council, the General Council, and the branches within the Democratic Labour Party. Hence why we're having a number of joint branch meetings across Barbados.
Okay.
First of all, to rally our base of supporters, because we know that even within the last decade, some persons may have been a bit discouraged. However, we are seeing a lot more numbers of persons coming back out to help to rebuild the party.
Okay.
So that's the first thing. Internal communication got to happen first.
So let me ask you something.
What's happened at Party Central, people would know within their branches, general council, etc.
So let me ask you. So what you're doing now on the one hand, and I go to, I look at the press and I see that Dennis Lowe and somebody else holding a meeting up in St. Philip, and Verla de Pisan at that meeting, I assume that they communicate. All right?
Yeah.
What I see at the public level is a party which seems to be fragmented. They don't come together as one, but the communication seems to be within small groups of people. It is perfected only within one group or the other, but as a whole, you're not getting that.
I beg to disagree. I don't want you to think that because Mr. Pisa is not at a meeting, that it is a clear sign that there is disunity in the party. As you know, she is quite a busy person with her career and so on, so sometimes she may not necessarily be available for some meetings.
Sounds sweet. Sounds
and
sweet.
And excuses are given.
Sounds like the second vice president for Truth.
but look at it though, David. If we are having a radio program, let's say that Sanka is not there or Peter's not there, are you standing for Peter? It won't be fair for me to assume that, okay, well, Peter don't want to deal with this meeting, or David don't want to deal with this meeting with the Dems or whatever. If you understand what I mean.
Well, you know,
need to.
Whatever you see is the conclusion that you will reach. I can't stop it. And that's where I am, and that's where other people are.
But let me tell you what else I am seeing. What else I am seeing for me is that the Democratic Labour Party is getting itself together. That's what I am seeing, because I'm closer to the ground and inside the organization. So I can tell you that. We do understand that the people in Barbados, although they may have changed the government, there's still some things that they're not happy about. There's still some issues
of course.
That they're not.
That's right. True. I mean, I began with the question of taxation and how people feel about that today. I mean,
yeah, that's right.
There are issues that people are not necessarily going to be happy about. Not everything that the government does is going to go down well with even supporters of the government.
That's right. That's right. And the thing about it, too, is that there is a need. Beijing's recognize the need for an opposition. And that is why the Democratic Labour Party must strategically place itself. Because, I mean, we had a lovely lecture by Adrian Green. He highlighted some of the challenges the party had and so on. And he was saying, well, look, you are at a perfect stage now to reinvent yourself and to come different. Because you lost everything. Now it is time to start over. And I think that
I want to hear what is the new... Thought. Look, in today's world...
Uh-huh.
You also want to get a sense of direction and philosophy. The Democratic Labour Party, I'm going to be candid about how I see the Democratic Labour Party. The Democratic Labour Party is a party which appears to pull at your heartstrings, to tell you, oh, we care, we are dear loving people, and that is all they need to say to us, that we are dear loving people. And the notion of a party that was started by, among others, the Right Excellent Errol Barrow. The question is, what is the philosophy and vision of the Democratic Labour Party today in light of the kind of drubbing that it got in 2018? I don't expect you to be able to tell me that, no.
I'm going to tell you a piece of it. I'll share some of it. Can't reveal everything right now, but I'll share some of it with you. One of the things... that we recognize is that for most people, a lot of people just see the Democratic Labour Party as a working class party, as a party only for the working class people. Do you somewhat agree with that statement?
No, because the way that the Democratic Labour Party ran its affairs last time made me question that when I saw that a small group of people not classified as working class seemed to be able to get most of what they wanted, and the working class were sucking salt.
I can't necessarily agree with you on that. What I would say is that the Democratic Labour Party has always had a record of a lot of social welfare programs to assist communities and assist the public. What I'm saying to you, to me, one of the ways forward for the Democratic Labour Party is to broaden its approach in terms of reaching out to the middle class, the upper class, the business class, because it can be said that some people thought, like the former policies and programs of the last administration did not reach them. For example, Thompson, last Prime Minister, David Thompson, one of the programs he had in place was the free bus service for people. But that is not for school children, that is. That is not a program that would necessarily resonate with the middle class or upper class people. That's what I've been saying to you, that for many years, the Democratic Labour Party has been seen as just a party for blue-collar workers. And yes, we embrace the working class, but we also recognize, too, that in our policies and programs going forward, we have to also embrace the needs of the middle class.
But hold on, Simon.
You do agree. I hope you do agree with that.
Simon, I don't think that I can agree with you on that, because I think that Errol Barrow benefited immensely from expanding the middle class in Barbados over the years. I don't think that the Dems were really seen as just, as you projected, blue collar and stuff. And I really feel that ultimately the Democratic Labour Party needs to be able to convince people that I've been around long enough to see that on two occasions now, the Democratic Party has left the Barbados economy on the brink. Or it's taken
well,
the, or ta- rather,
argue,
sorry,
economy.
Let me finish, taken us to the brink. The image of the Democratic Labour Party is one where it tends to find a relatively good wicket, and for whatever reason, it seems to erode that wicket. Now, once you come to us and tell us that you are a revamped and refashioned Democratic Labour Party, I think you're going to have to be able to convince people that you are stronger in trying to deal with the economic problems of this country rather than just relying on pulling at our heartstrings and telling us how much you love us and how much you care for us. But at the end of the day, you seem not to have a program that is sustainable in trying to deliver the goods to us while keeping our heads above water. That I would suggest to you, is a major challenge. I think I got to go now because we're about to go to the regional roundup. Sorry, not the regional roundup, to get the news headlines. But Simon, if you really want to stay with us a little while longer, you're free to do so. Of course, I will open up the telephone lines to get some calls, or perhaps you might have had enough yesterday and therefore you need a rest, okay? Thank you very much. Down to brass tacks. Good morning. Good afternoon, rather.
Good afternoon, Judge Alex.
Yeah, I hear you.
You hear me?
Yeah, I hear you yesterday, too.
Yeah, you're ripping to Simon.
I don't think that I rip into him. I just put to you and to him what I see as the issues. If you want to run from them, go ahead.
But, Mr. Ellis, let me tell you, there ain't a difference between these former ministers and ministers before, because you ain't hearing from these ministers talking, though. Ain't a difference. They may come out talking. The time they had I think it was Corey that invited some of them, and they turned it on your station. So there ain't a difference between them and the last ones. And if...
But let me say to you, let me say something to you.
Yes?
If we had that on one occasion so far, I must tell you, I lived through it, that we had it on several occasions in the past. So one occasion can't equate with the hostility that prevailed at that point in time. That's what we got from the former administration. Hostility. When politicians believe that they can get you to do their bidding, when you don't necessarily agree with everything they say, and when they start to feel the heat, they get like that. And I tell you, you don't for 1 minute believe that the day isn't going to come when a similar thing is going to happen with some of the people who are in power today. This is the name of the game.
Yeah, but if Israel Bradford wants to come back to the show, let him come back on the show.
I am not interested in that. That is not my call. All I was saying was that I note what he said yesterday in contrast to how he and others behaved in the past.
But let me tell you, though, there will always be a BLP party and a DLP party called the PDP. And he's still on the beast, so he representing the people out there, because you don't hear very much from them. So there will always be a B and a D party. And don't let a boy fool you. The DLP got their followers out there here.
But who said otherwise?
When people talk about Belgians, the Belgians turn the back. Those are Belgians. So some of the it's better between B's and D's.
I know you would
but
never turn.
The Belgians.
I know you would never turn your back.
You know what it would do. Your name
I am
Mr.
clear.
Ellis.
Man, listen, I've listened to you long enough on this air.
I
listened to you elsewhere on the other radio station over the years. I know what to expect. And I think most people in the country know how you feel.
No, I'm a Belgian. I could speak up for things that happen in the country. I'm born in Barbados. I'm born in another country.
But that is not what is in dispute.
I can see what line you draw.
Precisely. Precisely. So don't run away from it. Don't run from it.
I am running. I'm not running.
I don't know where you're trying to duck and hide from.
I'm a Belgian, and if I say something, I will say.
No, no. Listen. If you call here. If you call, if you call, well, you could say what you want to say.
It's half and half.
I hear you, but that's for the public to determine. Let me hear the other point.
I want to know, right? You gotta offset me now. I want to know. You know the poor people that sign up for that. You know when they will be getting back their monies? Called poor people. That's the poor people monies.
Well, I can't tell you that. I don't have the answer to the question.
Well, let the minister that responsible for them, let he come on the radio and say, I don't want to hear my prime minister coming on the radio and doing their job. I want to hear from the prime minister, the minister that responsible for these people that signing up, when they will be getting back their money. Can't hear nobody talking about it.
Oh, okay. That's the last point?
Mm-hmm. No, it's something else, but it slipped. So anyhow, you have a good day.
Left you confused. Down to brass tacks. Hello?
Good afternoon, Mr. Ellis.
Hi, how are you?
Okay, and you?
I'm well.
The number one moderator?
Well, in your view.
And a lot of people's view. I enjoy your contribution immensely, despite people think and say about you, but I know that.
But,
in my opinion,
I'm here for them to talk with me, you know.
Yeah, in my opinion, you're fair and balanced. Sometimes you like to play the devil's advocate, but I know you're smart enough to know when to draw the line.
All right, thank you. What are you raising today?
My thing is about the National Stadium.
Yeah.
I am concerned that the Ministry of Education and Sports did not see it fit to put a temporary cover over the stadium for those children that had to be in the sun all day. I don't think in this 21st century that this should be done. Something should be done, you know, in the sun, the whole day, that have an effect on you. And I think that the two should have come together and put... I had a cousin that went to the stadium, and when she came home, she was no help to herself. She was hydrated, the sun was...
How old?
She's in her 40s.
40s?
Yeah. Well. And she went as a guardian. And I think that the ministry should have come together and planned knowing the situation. If you know the sun would be real hot, well, if in fact you will go through the whole day, you understand?
So you wouldn't take an umbrella if you realize that?
David...
You wouldn't wear a broad hat?
She had both
an umbrella and a broad hat, and still was no use to herself. She didn't do any running?
No. Okay. God forbid. but you got small children, 7, 8 years down there. It's okay to have children assembled, but when they're running, but they don't feel the sun.
Well, I suppose part of the issue they might have faced was how much would have had to be done to create a temporary cover for the children, the costs associated with that, because as simple as it looks to you, it could have been quite costly, because they would have also had to put up some kind of prop on which that would be able to stand. So they would have made a judgment call. Look, in the meantime, put up some tents, because I believe they got quite a number of small tents that were set up in the area, and try to work with it as it is until we can fix the National Stadium in a more complete way.
But what about tarpaulin, a temporary tarpaulin?
I don't know, but at the end of it all is what will it cost you to do it? These things, as simple as it sounds, a piece of tarpaulin, but it's how much tarpaulin you're going to use.
But if you're going to car off one time, you would should think for one. That's my take on it. I mean, mm-hmm. I don't like it. It's not fair in this century, and
it is. This is seen as a transitional phase, though. You know, this isn't something that is supposed to stay like that forever. It's a transitional phase.
Yeah, but you know something, the things that are transitional stay long.
That's true. Things stay long, because you got to go through processes and procedures and all of that. So
only in Barbados.
Not only in Barbados, come on.
I'm a Barbados, so I can only speak on the experience. The next concern I have, I was listening to Brassat yesterday, and I heard a young lady say that they're finding difficulty in going to school.
She said $21 a day. You heard that? That it costs $21 a day to get from St. Lucie to the BCC?
Yeah.
$21 a day?
That's a lot of money.
Well, I don't understand how it could cost that amount of money. I would have to see that breakdown.
Because you know,
she talked about moving three buses right, one way and three buses another.
From St. Lucie to Spikestone, and from Spikestone to Bridgestone.
Bus fare is $2?
Yeah.
$2.50?
And from Bridgestone to
$3. It's $3.50.
$2.50. But my take is they say that why the government, I know you're going to say government don't have no money, but the government could institute a pass that if you get from St. Lucie to Spikestone, you should get a transfer. You shouldn't have to pay.
Well, that is one dimension to it. The other one, though, to me, that matters more than anything else is that students at the community college are supposed to be more technologically savvy today than was the case years ago. Why is it that we are not looking more at distance education in these circumstances? Now, I concede that not every class can be addressed in that particular way. But these students are at a level where, to a large extent, they can study on their own. And that kind of approach, the use of technology, can assist them in reducing the extent to which they have to move from point to point. I would think that, you know, I feel that not only is the circumstance that the young lady pointed out driving us in that direction, but I also feel that something like the coronavirus and what is happening worldwide right now is also something that is driving us to look at these matters.
I know.
You know, we can get a lot more done without necessarily having to move people from point to point like this. You know, that's a lot of movement for somebody who comes from St. Lucie. Now, I would suspect that it is quite possible to identify the students who have to come from far distances to the community college and discuss whether you can put some kind of arrangement in place that will reduce the costs on them to move to and fro. Don't you think so?
Yeah, I agree that, but you're not
being
not proactive.
Yeah, but we got to become proactive. This doesn't make sense. We got to be able to become proactive. At $3.50 per trip, then that requires a discussion about how you are going to reduce the cost to people. And the community college itself should be in the vanguard of trying to come up with an approach. But that's what it's a learning institution. They got students in technology at the community college. Why can't we deal with it that way?
Not technology and transportation.
Not in the transportation, but in terms of the use of the internet and that sort of thing.
I agree, because I even said that when she finished, I said, but if community college, like, could have a shuttle service. It's be adult to Bridgetown. It would be much better. But the rural network, the transportation system is barbed, is so unorthodox that you...
So wherever there's a will, there's a way. Hello, somebody's saying to me that every student may not have internet. That's true. But you know what? You can create an assembly point somewhere in St. Lucie or St. Peter, which has internet access, and voila, most of the students got cell phones. All right?
Yeah.
So you got to find a way around the problem. Why is it absolutely necessary? You can tell me that it's impossible to communicate with people in Barbados other than having them move to the community college and go back home? I don't buy that. And there are people who have to study. Distance education is already a reality in Barbados. Okay?
Yeah.
All right. Thank you very much. Down to brass tacks. Hello?
Hello, good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon.
There are two recent developments between Barbados and Trinidad that I feel good about them because I think it augurs well for the cooperation of the two islands or Caribbean people, if you want to extend it so far. I'm talking about the signing of the oil exploration between Barbados and Trinidad, and also the decision to set up joint embassies or consulates in the African states. I think we have not paid enough attention to this. I think this is a good development. It augurs well for us as Caribbean people.
I saw it, and I felt that it was a positive move, but you know what went through my mind?
Well,
how much of this is driven by the relationship between the Prime Minister of Barbados today and the Prime Minister of Trinidad and Tobago right now? And if the government of Trinidad and Tobago changes, are we likely to get an attitude from the new leadership in Trinidad and Tobago that could really create difficulties in these types of agreements? Because sometimes what you don't get the consistency. Don't forget, we were told quite boldly by a former Prime Minister of Trinidad and Tobago, don't look to Trinidad to help because, you know, we are not the ATM of the Caribbean.
Yeah, I remember that. That was the former Prime Minister.
Right, and a lot of this is driven by relationships, people who get along well together. I don't fool myself because in the case of Trinidad and Guyana, race matters too.
Yeah, I'm quite aware of these things, but I don't want to look at it in that narrow sense. I'm looking at it in its entirety. I think Caribbean politicians have to realize that we are small islands. We ain't going to find the space in today's world. And I think the cooperation, if we start that there, other people would understand that we are serious about regional cooperation. There are a lot of people think that Barbadians could stand alone in this hostile environment. I don't think so, you know. I think the answer for Caribbean people and for the development of Caribbean people is some form of unity among the islands, you know. It would cut costs in so much ways. It would bring our people together. We have the University of the West Indies, the politicians coming out of the university. I don't see why the young politicians can't see the need for Caribbean integration. I really don't see.
Well, I think the Prime Minister of Barbados is speaking a language that goes beyond the Caribbean community. I listened to what she said, I think it was on Friday, when she spoke at the funeral for Kamau Brathwaite.
Kamau Brathwaite, yeah.
And she's saying that we are creating citizens for the world.
Mm-hmm.
And she's coming across as though she's saying, look, this country is too small. We do not have enough people. And therefore, our way of trying to get by in the world is that we have to have linkages with other people. So here's the linkage with Trinidad on the one hand. Here's the linkage with Ghana at another level. And we are going to see to what extent we can create these opportunities by these synergies with other countries. Now, you have to sell that to Barbadians here, because Barbadians at the core are resistant.
I'm aware of that, because they see other Caribbean people as foreigners, and they don't want them here to come to take away what we have. But what do we have? Nothing. So I'm saying we have to sell it, and I think it's the politicians who have to sell it. The young politicians will need to sell it to the population. And I am hoping that this small step now would encourage other Caribbean people to come together to see the strength in such initiatives, right?
Well,
we can save a lot of money if we set up joint consulates, joint embassies across the world, rather than everybody, every little island got their own embassy and got to pay a high commissioner and staff and so on. I think that is a way we can cut costs in the end. The money we spent in the foreign services, big money, I think we can cut. What benefits do we get as small islands? I mean, the Caribbean may be able to get benefits as a group, but as a small islands like Barbados and St. Vincent and so on, do people really recognize us? That's the question I'm asking. What sort of benefits do we get?
I think the most important benefit to be derived from all of these efforts is the economic benefit. The opportunities that are opened up for your people to go and work elsewhere. But remember this, it will not be a one-way street. And this is where the difficulty will arise.
Yeah, because we don't want people entering our islands.
Precisely.
Right?
You're going to hear all the concerns about how small we are.
And we
cannot accommodate as many Ghanaians as they can accommodate Beijings.
Yeah.
And
but the people need to be educated, don't they?
It is true. But remember this. There has been a debate in some parts of Guyana, not all over, but some parts of Guyana are discussing how the Trinidadians are coming in and muscling in on their oil industry.
Yeah.
And we say we'll sign an agreement with Trinidad for the exploration. And they will bring a greater degree of expertise because they have been in that business longer than we have been.
Yeah,
and then you will have people questioning, so why is it that there are so many more jobs for them than there are for us? So these are the things that you got to be able to talk through.
But if we continue, so we can always remain poor, right? We are not going to get anywhere. We're going to remain begging the other developed countries to help us and that sort of thing. So I think we should depend on each other a bit more, pool our resources together, and we'll get further.
Okay.
It's my hope that this initiative now would continue. And as you said, as soon as the government changes in Trinidad or Barbados, you know, they put a stop there.
Well, I must say to you that from what I have observed, Mia Motley coming to office in Barbados as Prime Minister has helped to give some kind of boost and injection to the regional integration impetus. Huh?
It is so. I think she has taken the lead. I mean, Barbados had lead responsibility for integration, and I think she's running with it, and I'm hoping that she succeeds.
But that also, you know, wherever you go, this is what you hear. People think that so much revolves around her.
Uh-huh.
I mean, at the domestic level, when they look at the cabinet, they say the same thing. And then when you apply that to the region as a whole and some of these initiatives, I mean, so much relies upon the Prime Minister herself, her health and everything.
Yeah.
That, you know, people are worried about that. And
Can't
the extent to which she's...
Pardon? Concerned about burnout.
Do you hear that?
Yeah. People are concerned about that. She's speaking for Barbados. She's speaking now for the region now as chairman of CARICOM. And people are concerned about her health. How would she cope with all of these things on her plate, right? But I'm hoping that she will succeed.
All right. Thank you very much. Down to brass tacks. You on the air? It's 25 minutes afternoon, and we're going until 2 o'clock today. Hello?
Good afternoon, David.
Yes, sir. How are you?
I'm pretty good, you know.
Mm-hmm.
First, let me extend my condolence to you.
Thank you very much.
I saw the name by the window when I first person were you.
You spend too much time reading your bits from the Sunday.
I always make sure that I am still alive. That is right.
Yes.
Now, the other day I was listening, I didn't really want to speak this morning, but after hearing Simon's voice, it's not a name, I don't want to
think speak. Simon Ali.
Yes, Simon Ali. It really provoked me to call the program. And because that, I'm going to speak on two matters. But first, I must try to rebuke what Simon was saying. Because he gave this country the impression that there is indeed not a fraction within the Democratic Labour Party. And I don't know if you can recall, but I was the first person who made this known to the country because of information that I had. And I went and I observed for myself that indeed these meetings normally take place. One was held up to last Wednesday night at a certain location.
You were in on that meeting?
David, I stayed a distance and I watched the individuals going in car by car.
You hear anything?
No, I can get close to the meeting of itself.
You saw this happen when? Friday night or Wednesday night?
Wednesday night,
so...
But this was going on quite a while, these meetings, at this particular location.
So why couldn't that be just washed on Wednesday when they decided they can have as many drinks as possible?
Well, maybe it could be so as well. Maybe it could be that.
We come to the conclusion that this business is being transacted.
I have concrete evidence that this thing happened. And you know what's happening? It's all taking place as a presence of Verla the
Pig. You're too suspicious, man.
David, no, I'm not. I told you.
This sounds like it bordering on mischief.
No, someone who are very close. That's all you know about this meeting.
It sounds like mischief to me. I don't
have the person using me as a satellite.
You?
Because I want the message to go loud and clear. And that is why they told me about the meeting. I'm serious, though. Very, very serious. And I asked the person, my tall boy, that's not the person.
I'm going to have to leave you because we're getting ready for the Starcom Network News at 12:30, all right? We'll come back later.